Arthur. He's a pension check gambler. He's a park bench instructor. He's a breadcrumb handler and a pigeon conductor. He's an old ashtray miner, a half a lung hacker. A life's been unkinder and a penny roll stacker. Chuck. He's a liquor store strummer. He's a half a block howler. He's the sound of my summer. He's a dead flowers growler. He's a sidewalk street singer. A Baldwin Spadina, old resonator slinger, and a drunken John Priner. Dolores. Dolores. She's a stray cat collector. She's a landlord's dilemma. She's a mangy menagerie marigold mama. She's a plastic flower bike basket Eden's glider rider. A long Lola loiter and a Pall Mall provider. I can smell the lilac from my room. The hollyhock sidewalks of June. Where roses are blooming red as wine. But there are morning glories that only bloom late in the chilly afternoon. And they might be the sweetest on the vine. They might be the sweetest on the vine. I think you should come with me. Come with me right now. And let's float in the air over Kensington Market. We can take your car there, but there's no place to park it. Up here with the pigeons, whom gravity pardons. We can see all the green bins and sidewalks and gardens. Yeah, we can look and there's Chuck singing Muhlenberg County. And he's already tucked away two old Milwaukees. And just two streets over from Spadina and Baldwin, there's Luther sitting under the bronze of Al Waxman. Yeah, and there goes Dolores on her way down to Lola, to lounge in a chorus of lit up low rollers. She gives Chuck a smoke, he gives her a song. Luther's still broke, but he shuffles along. She hands him one too, 'cause she can afford it. The twilight falls blue on their cherry tip auras. And it's plain to see now that the darkness is growing, that you're not down and out when you're down and outgoing. I can smell the lilac from my room, the hollyhock sidewalks of June, where roses are blooming red as wine. But there are morning glories that only bloom late in the chilly afternoon. They might be the sweetest on the vine. They might be the sweetest on the vine. They might be the sweetest on the vine.
That's Corin Raymond with Morning Glories from his fabulous new album, Hobo Jungle Fever Dreams. Corin is heading out on tour with Jonathan Bird in Western Canada this April for a series of shows that should not be missed. And he's our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. How are you doing today, Corin?
Hey, hello, Jim. I'm doing good.
Great to have you join us. You're just off the CD release of Hobo Jungle Fever Dreams. That took place at the Lula Lounge in Toronto just a few days ago. And now you're getting ready to get on out on tour. But you must be pretty excited with the response you've received for this new album.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. It's been really great since it's been out there to feel the energy moving around and have people enjoying it.
Well, you've become synonymous with the art of songwriting. You seem to be someone that not only is out there recording his own songs, but you're very enthusiastic about sharing your art. And this particular album, I think you have, what, 8 of the songs are actually co-writes with other people. There's one song, I think, by Doug Norke on the album, one by yourself, but the rest are all you writing with other people.
That's right. That's true. It's almost all co-writes on the album. In fact, Morning Glories, the song that you just played, is, I think, the only song on the album that I wrote without a co-writer. And Doug Norke, who I've covered on all 4 albums that I've made as Corin Raymond, I've included a Doug Norke song. And he actually lives in Guelph, incidentally. But it's true. And I think that's just because living this life, I guess I'm heading out on the road tomorrow. I fly to Winnipeg for 16 dates in 4 provinces in 3 weeks. And, you know, making the album and getting ready for the release and doing all the attendant work involved in this crazy life, I don't get to write as much as I would like to. And a lot of the writing in the past several years that I've done has taken place when I've, you know, been in a van with another writer or had a day off somewhere else with another writer and actually had a chance to just bounce ideas off of each other. And so that's, I think, why there are so many co-writes on this record.
Take us through the process itself. Morning Glories, I think, would be a good place to start. When you write a song like that, because it's got some wonderful wordsmithing in it, and I just love some of the lyrics that you throw into that. Tell us about how you come up with a song like that.
Well, Morning Glories took 4 years to write, and it was a song I had struggled a lot with that song. Started with a whole different idea, actually. It started with a phrase, the faded and the fallen, the forgotten and the few. And I was thinking about these people. I was thinking about people on the sidewalk around the Kensington Market in Toronto, and I was just thinking about characters that I've known over the years, and people whose lives didn't turn out the way that they thought they would, or who just ended up in a hard place, and I was thinking about even people in my own family or friends that I'd known, and so there was this whole song that I was working on that it ended up gradually shifting into a song that was in a lot of ways more about the neighborhood itself, the Kensington Market. And it started out as something that was a bit depressing, to tell you the truth, and it ended up turning into something that was really sweet and, you know, has a lot of love in it. And as you say, the wordsmithing in Morning Glories is pretty rigorous. And, you know, that just doesn't happen overnight for me. That's something that I labored on for a number of years. And at one point I got stuck with the song. I had the first 2 little portraits, the character portraits, and they were written so tightly. And then I had the chorus of the song, which I was very happy with. But then I didn't know what else to do. Like, do I just keep writing more of these portraits? And I really was stuck on the song. And luckily, Jan, I was in a fantastic song, like almost like a songwriter's summit, a little get-together with about 8 different songwriters in Wimberley, Texas. And there were some great songwriters there. Kevin Welch was there, and Jonathan Bird was there. We were in the home of Billy Crockett, who's a fantastic songwriter and runs Blue Rock Studios down in Texas. And it was fantastic. We had this session where we just shared song ideas that maybe we were having trouble with. Or like we just put stuff on the table, and then all these different songwriters would talk about the idea. And it was great because I shared my idea of Morning Glories. I played the first 2 verses and the chorus. And Billy Crockett said, you know, I love these close-ups. You've got these real beautiful close-ups in this song. I just wish we could zoom out, you know. So that was what unlocked it for me. And then when I walked away from that session, I had this image of zooming out and just And then it became more about the Kensington Market, and I saw how all these characters could interact with each other. And then the rest was fairly easy after that.
It's the poetic nature of the lyric that I just love. You know, you could just, you know, you could stand on stage and just read that. Putting the music with it as well, I just makes it come to life so much more. Am I right in thinking that you will work on these lyrics and then work on the melody? Or is there a melody that you already have and you're just looking to put the song to it?
I'd say it's the latter most of the time, because melodies are fairly easy to come by. I mean, in the sense that, you know, you have a few beers and play guitar and sing, you're going to come up with melodies. Like, melodies are in the air. They're available. You can have fun and just come up with a melody. It's a lot harder to supply words to a melody. And that's what takes the years of work often, is, you know, finding the right words and the right subject for that melody, and then the words that suit the movement of the melody, and then you've got to have the verses that move from one to the other, and you've got to tell a story and all those things. And it's very, very difficult. At least I find it so. I find it very difficult. So it's almost always, for me, the music came out of something fun. You know, the music was just me singing and just enjoying playing and humming or whatever. And then when I get onto a melody that I really like, you know, then I just start trying to find the words for it. And so for me, it usually happens in that order, though sometimes a song will begin with a title. You'll start with a title of a song. For instance, The Law and the Lonesome, Jonathan Bird and I, that was a song that I started writing myself, and I had a bunch of it, and I had the melody, and I had some of the words, but that was a song that began with the title, just the title. There was a man up north, he wrote a review of one of my shows, up in my hometown, actually, of Cochiner, Ontario. And he wrote this great little review of a show, and he talked about a song of mine. I have a song called 3,000 Miles. And he said that song was about a man running from the wrath of the law and the lonesome. And so, you know, I knew I had to find a home for that phrase.
Well, it's interesting, because that was a song, I think, that was written before 2008, right? Because Jonathan used the song on his album at that time, and I think it was also the title of the album as well.
Exactly. I think that was it 2000? And yeah, you're right. It was a 2008 album. It was the title of his album, and he did a fantastic recording of the song. And he recorded that song within 48 hours of finishing the song. He had it. It was on his record. That's Jonathan Bird is like a laser beam. Once he gets something in his sights, and it's incredible to see him work. And he works with such dispatch. And so yes, that song's been around for it's going on 10 years old.
So when you work with someone in a situation like this, is it a case of getting to that point where you feel you need help? Is that what happens? So you say, you know, I need a little bit more here. And that's when maybe you'll talk to someone like Jonathan. I mean, I would imagine it's probably either when you're on tour or passing through a place together. And then you say, oh, I'm working on this song. You know, can you give me a little help? Is that how it goes?
It's less about asking for help. Although that certainly, you know, Jonathan certainly did help with that song. But it's less about that and more about just the excitement of two guys together who are both absolute geeks for this stuff. You know, both of us, we're just nerding out, and we're just, you know, it's such a pleasure to spend time with someone else who thinks about these things the way you do and who has their own cache of phrases and melodies and half-written bits and songs that they have ideas for or titles that they haven't written the songs for yet. And so you get two of us, like me and Jonathan, together. In the first few years of us knowing each other, touring together, we were just constantly coming up with ideas, sharing ideas, talking about ideas, And so I would show him my ideas I've been working on, and he would get excited about it. I showed him The Law and the Lonesome, and right away he was very excited about the rhyme scheme that I'd created. He loved the music. He loved the title. He loved where it was going. So he got very excited about it. And at that point, it's hard to restrain him, you know? Like, at that point, it's less about asking for his help, and it's like you've unleashed, you know, the beast. It's like once you've put it on the table, and, you know, then you're both talking about it and talking about where it could go and throwing rhymes out and ideas and throwing spaghetti at the wall. And then before you know it, you've written it together. So that's how it happened, I think. In fact, in almost every case on the album, the co-writes on this album, were just me having fun with other songwriters.
Let's play that song just now. This is Corin Raymond from his fabulous new album, Hobo Jungle Fever Dreams. I've already gone on record of saying that if this isn't being talked about at awards time, I will be disappointed. Absolutely fabulous album. Corin Raymond with his version of The Law and the Lonesome. And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
Before you, where will you fly to this time? Only Jesus will go down the road you're burning. You should be turning to him. How will you wait and be washed in the water when the river is dirty as sin? Then in only 2 days, you done 200,000 white lines. You took the wrong way home. You took the wrong. Like a snake round the shoulders of God. Christ on his hilltop, the cop at the truck stop, they're both only doing their job. You got a double cross to bear, now you friend you had to lose. He's in the ambulance, you're in the cruiser, with a fatal case of the soccer punch blues. You took the wrong.
That's Corin Raymond with The Law and the Lonesome from his great new album, Hobo Jungle Fever Dreams. He's our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. We're talking about the new album and also the fact that he's heading out on tour in Western Canada with Jonathan Bird. And it sounds like it's going to be some amazing nights of music. And I know you've spent a lot of time with Jonathan over the years. You must have toured a few times, have you?
I think this will be our 16th or 17th tour together.
Wow.
So, yeah, we've toured a lot in Canada, and we've toured a handful of times together in the U.S. But, we've spent a lot of time on the road together, and now we're gonna do another 20,000 kilometers.
So when you do a show together, I mean, you're both great songwriters. You both have a wealth of material to play. You also have written together. How do you actually put a show together in this situation? Is it, do you take turns at, you know, who goes first, or how do you do it?
Well, you know, when we used to tour together, we used to do more of a traditional show. You know, I would open the show or whatever. Each of us would do a set and we'd join each other on a few songs. And we do it sort of like, you know, you hear this songwriter and now you hear this songwriter. But lately, we've been mixing it up more together, and it's a lot more fun. We really do a show together now. You know, we'll each have our moments where we're playing solo or we're playing our own songs, but we're playing on each other's songs a lot. We're sharing a wonderful bass player, Brian Kobayakawa, who has played bass all over Hobo Jungle Fever Dreams on both the tracks you played today. We've been listening to Brian on the bass. So he'll be with us on this tour. And Jonathan has an accompanist named Johnny Waken, who's just he's just monstrously good. And he plays a Stratocaster, he plays electric guitar, he plays the mandolin, he plays the saw, he plays the harmonica. Often, you know, he'll play three of those in the same song, and he's just wonderful. And so we're all going to be playing together. Johnny and Jonathan and Brian will be playing with me, and I'll be playing with them. And so we're going to mix it up. So it'll be a very interactive show.
Now, one of the things about your shows is the fact that there is a great opportunity for the audience to get involved. It's quite common for people to start joining in on songs. And I think, you know, just with your last album, the double live Paper Nickels album, which I'm sure people will remember as the album that was paid for with Canadian Tire money, you really like to get the audience involved, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's just so fun to sing together. And I feel fortunate that I have songs that people enjoy singing on, you know, songs that kind of naturally bring people together and, you know, get people singing. And, you know, that to me is what music is for. Like, to me, music is for everybody. And the kind of songs that I play, I call them porch songs. You know, they're folk songs in the sense that they are for folks. And, I think Jonathan and I both feel the same way, you know, and certainly there's some songs like Morning Glories, you know, songs that are more wordier and more story oriented, and songs that are kind of made more for listening to. But then you mix, you know, then you have other songs. The whole purpose of the songs is just to get everybody making noise. So, absolutely.
Well, I want to play one of those songs just now. That's I Only Drink a Little, which is definitely a song to sing along to. And it's one that I'm sure will get covered by an awful lot of people. Tell us a little bit about this song. This is one that was written with Jackson Haldane.
Jackson Haldane. He used to be the leader of a band, a Winnipeg band called the D-Rangers. And they were fantastic. And Jackson is a fantastic songwriter who actually has just had he's got an album coming out. He lives in Oklahoma City now, and he's got an album coming out right about now. And he's fantastic. And so we just both happened to be in Winnipeg visiting when I was on the road. We had an afternoon together, and it was great because he had a whole song written. He had a whole lyric written. And it was about a musician. It was a bass player in a band, kind of like a hobby band. And the guy had a wife and kids, and he just played music on the side. And it was sort of a sad portrait of this character. And he sort of was playing on the weekends and drinking too much. And Jackson had a line in this lyric that he showed me, which he'd written that day before getting together with me. And there was a line that said, "He only drinks a little too much." And it was kind of sad, you know. And I looked at that and I said, "Man, that's fantastic. Let's just take that line and write a song. Like, let's write that song." And so that's exactly what we did.
It's a fabulous song. Let's play that just now. This is Corin Raymond from the album Hobo Jungle Fever Dreams, and I Only Drink a Little. And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
Till I'm
I'm handed in a quiddle, cause somebody with a badge won't budge. I only drink a little, I only drink a little, I only drink a little too much. I only drink a little, I only drink a little, I only drink a little too much. Your Honor, I only drink a little, I only drink a little, I only drink a little too much.
That's Corin Raymond with I Only Drink a Little from his great new album, Hobo Jungle Fever Dreams. He's our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. We're talking about the new album, which was produced by David Gillis, who's one of my favorite performers. I love watching him play with Ariana Gillis. Tell us a little bit about working with David.
Fantastic. It was wonderful working with David. He's like a little kid. He's such an accomplished musician. But he's just so playful. It's like he's never lost the children's reason for making music, which is where we all begin, which is just to play and just to have fun and throw things at the wall and make noises and try things out. And he has so many great ideas, and he is really very childlike in the way that he just keeps. He just keeps throwing fun ideas at you, and that's ideal in a producer, because you know you hope when you work with someone who's producing a record that they're going to bring fresh and fun ideas to the songs, and they're going to bring some textures to them that make the recordings exciting. And so working with David was wonderful.
And the people playing on this album, I mean, you have a great band, the Sundowners, that you play with regularly in Toronto, and I'm sure are involved in the launch just a few days ago. But you've got Gary Craig in there, and Brian Kobayakawa you mentioned earlier. The thing about an album that you really love is as soon as you hear the first few bars, you just realize there's something really special going on. Did it feel like that when you were in the studio?
Well, it certainly did. There were certain days where it did. It was a long recording process, and it was recorded in several different places at several different times. So at each of those times, there were those days that felt very special. And there was one day in particular where it felt like everybody there was just playing together, and we had so much fun. And every session, there would be those moments, and every throughout the year, every time we got together to work on the record, there were days like that where at the end of the day, I think everybody there, everybody involved, was really excited to hear how it was going to come out and to hear what it ended up being. And they were all, I think, really proud to be involved, which is a great feeling to have musicians of the caliber of Michael Pickett and Gary Craig and Jason Nowicki being involved and being excited about being involved. So there was a lot of great energy.
Tell us a little bit about what happens next. You know, you're a writer as much as a singer-songwriter. You've got two one-man shows you've created over the years, the Bookworm one and then the Paper Nickels one. My sense is that, you know, you're going to write more and more as your career develops, you know, working with the written word as much as the music. Is that something that you do see as part of where you'll go?
Absolutely, Jan. As I was saying earlier, the only obstacle really is about finding the time. And when you're a full-time artist working at the level that I do, which is enough certainly to make a full-time living, but it's also a life in which I'm responsible for a lot of different aspects, you know, despite the fact that I have a manager and I have an agent and I have administrative assistants and people helping me. I have a great team. But the work to just keep the show on the road and to make everything happen is just constant. And that's one of the it's like, be careful what you wish for, you know. I used to dream about doing this full time, and now I'm doing it. And it is exhausting, and there's never a time at the end of the day where it's done. You know, you'd be 3 in the morning, and there's still there's still seven things you got to do, and you've kind of got to, you just got to ride the roller coaster and hang on. So as far as writing goes, yes, I'm going to be writing another one-man show. I'm going to write a sequel to Bookworm. I'm going to be, I want to write reviews of people's records. I want to write, there's articles and poems and stories and all those things. And it's really just about finding time. So right now, actually, now that this album's done and it has annexed my brain for 15 months now, this project, and now that it's out there, I'm really excited about just being able to work on some new songs. So I'm on all those things, and it's just a matter of making the time to do it. That's the most important thing.
If people want to learn more about your music, how can they do that?
CorinRaymond.com. C-O-R-I-N. Raymond. CorinRaymond.com. Everything they need is there.
And that has the links to the shows that you're currently playing. And you're still doing the residency in Toronto at the Cameron House?
That's right. I'll return to the Cameron House Thursdays, 6 to 8 p.m. I'll return there in May. So May and June, I will be there at the Cameron every Thursday. And in May, that'll mark 11 years that we've been playing Thursdays at the Cameron House.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. Well, look, it's been great fun talking to you today. I want to play one more song from the album. And I got to say, there'll be people who know this album and say, well, why aren't you playing Hard on Things? Or why aren't you playing Under the Belly of the Night, which are fabulous songs, but I've already played them on this show. And I wanted to explore some of the other great songs on the album. We're going to finish with 2 Miles of Train. And I'm going to give you a chance just to talk about how that song came together.
Oh, I love that song. Well, this song, how that song came together, is a great example of the way you're influenced and inspired by your peers. Because there's a songwriter out west. He lives in Prince George, BC. His name is Raghu Lokanathan, and he's just. I think it's safe to say that he is my favorite Canadian songwriter, by far my favorite Canadian songwriter, and he's the favorite of a lot of songwriters. He's remarkable. And I played a Raghu Lokanathan song to Jonathan Bird at my house many years ago, and Jonathan was dumbfounded by this song. And the first words out of his mouth were, "That's a hobo jungle fever dream." And that's what he said about Raghu's song. And then the next time I did some shows with Raghu many months later out in BC, and we had one of those wonderful times I was talking about earlier where we were just all jamming at the end of the night. There was a gal named Dinah D was playing upright bass and sharing her moonshine with us. And we were playing and just jamming and singing. And we started playing those chords and just playing them and jamming on those chords. And I started singing the words that Jonathan Bird had said. And I had just come out all the way from Toronto on the train, and I started singing, 2 miles of train shooting right through my brain, got them hobo jungle fever dreams again, and it just kept going round and round, and then Raghu and I finished the song together the following day on the ferry, and it was so much fun. And so that song is, not only is it a great song to end with, and sort of represent the album with, but it's also a great example of how much fun we do get to have, us musicians, when we get together in those moments.
You know, and that fun really, really comes through. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you today. Corin Raymond, his fabulous new album, Hobo Jungle Fever Dreams, and this is 2 Miles of Train. And Corin, have a wonderful tour out west. And I should ask you, when will you be playing out east?
Well, I'll be back at the end of April. And then I know there are a few things lined up. I'm not sure what they are off the top of my head. I know I'm playing the Blue Skies Festival this summer. And I know I go out west a lot. I'm playing a festival out in BC in June. And I'm back in Alberta in the fall. It seems like they love what I do out west, so I'm always getting called out west. But I don't know that there are any other. It's been such an intense 15 months working on this project that I'm actually really excited to have May and June just to have some time, downtime, you know?
Well, we'll just have to get people to pick up a copy of the album. And remember, check out CorinRaymond.com for all the information on where Corin will be playing next. An absolute pleasure, Corin. We'll leave you with 2 miles of train from the album Hobo Jungle Fever Dreams. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
I've been north and south and north. I've been forth and back and forth. But right now, I'm just underneath this tree. If I had a watch, I'd be keeping mine on Big Rock Candy Mountain time. That way I'm always where I need to be. And singing, 2 miles of train, shooting right through my brain. Got them hobo jungle fever dreams again. 2 miles of train, shooting right through my brain. Got them hobo jungle fever dreams again. There's a cherry blossom moonshine breeze underneath these willow trees. Yeah, this spot was just too sweet to ignore. I mean, how much luckier could we have been? The junkies moved out and we moved in. Camp right here behind the liquor store. All singing, 2 miles of train, shooting right through my brain. Got them hobo jungle fever dreams again. 2 miles of train, shooting right through my brain. Got them hobo jungle fever dreams again. Busting up mesquite for a little heat and southern Christmas cheer. Lost and found, Lightning Dan, Psycho, and the frying pan. Tonight I wish that they could all be here. Yeah, and singing. 2 miles of train, shooting right through my brain. Got them hobo jungle fever dreams again. I got train, shooting right through my brain. Got them hobo jungle fever dreams again. I got 2 miles of train, shooting right through my brain. Got them hobo jungle fever dreams.